Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about prayer, about the power of prayer, and about your prayer life. We need some prayer for that ambulance going by outside, right? Right now. God help those people. How is your prayer life? Are you praying much? Are you praying often or praying little or none at all? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Can I let you in on a little secret? I think the reason that we don't pray very often is because we don't believe in the power of prayer. That God is actually going to answer whatever you ask. Just like Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and you will. Do you believe that? You know, the more you believe that you are going to get a powerful, true answer from the Lord, the more you're going to run to prayer. But if we don't believe in the power of prayer, we're going to run away from it, or we're not going to do it very often. So what I'd like to do today is just look at the basics of the encouragements that God gives us in prayer so that we can have a boost in our prayer life to go to the Lord, because this is what he wants, and to be built up through prayer here at church. So first of all, let me ask you, who can pray to God and be absolutely certain he's going to answer them as they ask? Oh, you got a couple? Is that you guys can? Praise God. You know what? That's true, because Christians and only Christians can go to God in prayer and be absolutely certain that God is going to answer as you ask, because we have an open door to God through Christ. If you're an unbeliever, Martin Luther said that unbelievers they can't pray at all, except that they may patter and chatter as geese noisily eat their straw. Gotta love Luther. That's all they're doing. They're chattering away because they don't believe in God, so how's God going to hear their prayers? Because it's by faith that we need to pray. And secondly, they don't have access to God, because it's through Christ that we have access to the Father. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's not only for our salvation, but in prayer as well. It's through Jesus Christ that we have access. But listen to what happens to us as Christians, like in Mark chapter 15 here, verse 35. Jesus is dying on the cross for our salvation. Actually, verse 37. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And he dies on the cross for us. The next line says, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What is that? That was the separation in the temple between God and the people. There was a huge, thick curtain, very tall and very thick. Yeah, when Christ dies, that was torn, showing that the sin's payment was done. The sinner was justified, that he saved us at the cross, and the separation between God and man was removed. And access is now granted to us Christians, not only when we die and go to heaven, but also in our prayers. Access is opened to the Father. Because let me let you in on a little secret with prayer. It's not easy to get to the Father. Can you get to the President of the United States if we all left here right now? Got on a bus, how close would you get? I don't know if you want to go or not, but if you did, how close could you get? You'd get to Washington, but you wouldn't get into the compound. You wouldn't get to the White House. You'd get stopped. And that's just a human being. How about getting to God? Very difficult, but Christ has opened the door so that we can go in there as his own children to the King of Heaven. We read this in the Bible. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Say the word access, if you would. Through him, we have access in one spirit to the Father, Ephesians 2 says. And Ephesians 3 says, in him, in Christ, we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. And so you and I, as Christians, have superpower in our prayer to go right to the Father, and your prayers will be heard, and answered. Now, is there a way for a Christian to not have their prayers heard very well, even a Christian? Yeah, actually, Peter says that if you, for example, are mean towards your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered towards God. He won't hear them very well. They'll be blocked. Kind of like if you're mean towards your wife or some other sin, it'd be like, God, what I'd really like is, and especially, amen. In that case, you'd want to repent and come to Christ, have that washed. And then, as Christians, though, we have boldness, an open door to the Father. He even bids us and commands us, come and ask of me great things. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you run to prayer or do you run away from it? Could you run more? Well, think about the discouragements that we have in prayer, things that stop us. What are the things that stop us? Well, number one, distracted. We get discouraged because we're so easily interrupted. Our flesh is weak. Do you guys get distracted? If you don't do prayer first thing and you go off to something else, you'll never get to prayer. It's just the way it is because that's the way we are. Martin Luther, again, shared the story about getting distracted in prayer. He talked about St. Bernard, and I'm not talking about a dog. Poor guy. Dog was named after him, but he was talking about a saint called St. Bernard, and he had trouble praying because he had trouble keeping from being distracted. And there was a young monk said, what's the matter? It's easy not to get distracted. St. Bernard says, I know it's not too easy to not think of a dog, but anyway, he said, I will bet you this horse right here that I have that you can't say the Lord's Prayer without getting distracted. Young monk is like, no problem. You're on. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy... Does that stallion come with a saddle or not a saddle? Martin Luther's story. We're so easily distracted. So that's number one. If you don't get to it right away, it's easy to get distracted, especially in our day and age where we have TVs and you know, music and entertainment and phones. You can sit on your phone for an hour watching a video, but can we sit for 5 minutes with the Lord? Well, you got to do it first. Otherwise, you'll never get to it. Secondly, hard work. Prayer is hard work. That's one reason we're discouraged in it, because remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Are we willing to put forth that kind of sweat in prayer into our prayers? Well, the disciples couldn't. They, you know, at least before Christ was raised, you know, they were supposed to stay up even 1 hour while he's being betrayed. And he says, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Yes, the spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. So our flesh is so easily distracted, and it's hard work. Thirdly, this is a real big one for our faith. Our faith sometimes in our prayers is not very big because we think, I'm not worthy to be heard by God. Now, if I were Peter or if I were John, I could go boldly before the throne and get what I wanted. But, you know, those promises are just for those guys. Me, I'm just little average guy or gal, Joe or Susie. Who am I that God would listen to me so I don't feel worthy? And fourth, is delay. You know, God delays his answer to our prayers a lot of times. And you pray, oh God, grant me this or grant me that, and no answer seems to come. And so you quit because you didn't see the answer in the timing that you wanted, exactly as you wanted, and you throw in the towel. It's another reason we get distracted. Also, number five, we don't know sometimes how to pray. We maybe don't know the nuts and bolts of it, which we'll take a look at. And lastly, and biggest of all, friends, we're in a war. Our enemy, there's a real enemy, a dragon, fire breathing, the devil. And he knows that you can slay the dragon by your prayers. And so he does everything with all of his might and all of his fiendish strength to stop you. Are you going to let him stop you? At least for the sake of competitive juices, get up there and fight and pray? to put him down. Because if you pray in the morning, it's like you're sending out the air force ahead of you. And you're going to have coverage of the skies, and your ground troops, namely you, are going to advance easily. But if you don't pray and you have no air force over you, your ability to move forward is going to be seriously impeded for that day. So what's God tell us then about overcoming all these discouragements in prayer? Well, number one, how do you overcome distractions? How do you overcome distractions? Getting distracted away. Well, let's take a look at our Lord Jesus Christ, see what he did. We read here in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And early in the morning, a great while before day, while it was still dark, Jesus rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed." So what do you learn by that one? Get away, pray by yourself in the wilderness, and what's the biggest thing?
Early
in the morning. First thing, while it's still dark, before all the distractions come in. The next line in that gospel, Peter even finds him in the wilderness. What are you doing out here? Thousands of people are looking for you, looking for you to come and tend to them. Distractions. Jesus said, before any of that starts, I'm getting out there by myself on the mountain with that cool breeze and the stars up above with my Father. We're going to have time together. You got to start out first before the phone rings, before the first assignment comes. Otherwise, you'll never get to prayer. So that's number one. Jesus says, get to it first thing like I did. Spend that time with the Father and send in the Air Force ahead of yourself, and you'll have a great day. Secondly, Jesus says, when you go to God in prayer, don't let yourself be discouraged as if you have to manufacture some huge book or volume or speak in some fancy language to the Father. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6 when he's teaching us to pray. He says, in praying, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Because your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Do you know that when you go to God in your prayers in the morning, he already knows what you're going to say? So go and don't even just spill out volumes. Just tell him exactly, directly what you need. And what your joys, your sorrows, whatever's on your heart. Which leads to point number three. Speak to him your heart. Jesus teaches us this. He says, don't go out there. Like it says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, when you pray today, in the service, or at home, or tomorrow morning, if you want to know what to pray, what is on your heart? What are the cares? Cast your cares upon me, God says. I'll hear you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Cast your troubles there. Unburden yourself. If you're feeling joyful, praise him. If you're feeling sorrowful, unload that onto him. You're not going to overburden him. Maybe a human being might be overburdened by that. Not God. Jesus says he wants your heart. Remember, we hear in the Bible, in Old Testament, Hannah, remember her? She was childless. She had no child. She was barren. She tried to conceive with her husband and couldn't get anywhere because God had closed her womb. Meanwhile, there was another wife in the situation, and she would provoke Hannah continually till she wept bitterly and she wouldn't even eat it all. Well, this went on for years, and then she ran quickly when she just reached her breaking point, ran to the temple, fell down and started praying to the Lord, pouring out her heart before God, asking for a son. And then Eli, the high priest there, says, this woman must be drunk. Look at her. She's just muttering under her lips, not even speaking words. Put away your wine from you, you base woman. And she says, oh no, my Lord, I'm a woman sorely troubled. I haven't drunk wine or strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do you guys do that? Pouring out your soul before the Lord. For all along, I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And then she gets the word from the priest, then go, and God grants you your desire. And who does she get? Samuel. the great. And Samuel, the word, the name, means God heard. In other words, God heard my prayer. So, think about that. Hagar and Hezekiah and David, they all wept bitterly, pouring out their soul, and God heard their prayers and answered them mightily. He's going to hear you. Do you believe that? Also, the Bible teaches us how to pray with our bodies as well. Now, maybe it seems a smaller point, but I think it's kind of important. How do you usually pray? As you have always been taught as Lutherans, yeah, put your hands together. What do you do with your head? Drop it down, close your eyes, sit on a couch in a room like this with stale air. Not that stale. We're getting the AC fixed next week, but anyway. Think about this. What is that the position of? Sleep. Right? Now, that's an okay way to pray, by the way. Because, you know, you can bow your knees, Ephesians chapter 3, Genesis 24. That man, I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord. So you can put your head down. You can bow your knees. You can sit. You can lay in your bed. You can. But look at this. Jesus says in Mark 11, whenever you stand praying, then forgive, that your Father might forgive you. So you can stand. Isn't that great? Get some energy and blood flowing. Jesus in John 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come to glorify thy Son. You know, that's the best for me, is when I'm outdoors. Do you do that? Walking, moving, my blood's flowing. I feel a fresh breeze. I'm by myself. I look up and I think of God up above the firmament of the clouds and the stars. And I say, there you are, Father. Good morning, God. I say that every morning. My dog, I say, good morning, God. All glory to you. I thank you that my skies are blue. For your mercy is great and never ends. See me through to my journey's end. And I have a little poem I wrote. But I'm so much more energized looking up. And oh, my goodness, for Lutherans, I'm even going to mention this one. Raise your hands. Sounds very shameful. I mean, that's charismatic. That's Pentecostal, but it's also biblical. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I implore that men should lift holy hands in prayer. So get your body into it. And also, don't only pray alone, but pray with others, because you can catch their fire. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But what do you really need to get your prayers answered? Faith. Good one, Ernie. You need faith. That's what you said, right? Because you can't just pray, well, God, here's my request, but I really don't think you're going to answer me because I really don't think this is going to work. Here I shot an arrow into the air. I wonder where it will land. I know not where. Is God going to answer that kind of a prayer? No. Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, this sycamore tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. That sounds pretty powerful. So you need faith. So what's the big discouragement when it comes to faith? Why don't we pray with faith? Because we think we're unworthy. Oh, if I were Peter, if I were Paul or Moses, oh yeah, then God would hear me. But I'm so unworthy, why would God ever hear me? You know what Martin Luther says to that, and the Bible, by the way, and God? Don't come to me on your own worthiness. Come to me on account of Jesus Christ. Come to me on account of being justified as a sinner through faith in him. Come to me by my command. Does not God bid us and command us to come? Do you think that the king sitting on his throne in heaven would command you to come to him and not intend to answer you? Of course he's going to answer you. So we should come, as Martin Luther says, come not on your own worthiness, but because God, you've commanded me. And here I am according to your word, because it's a sin not to come. And I'm here on account of your word. So I expect great things from you. And then secondly, come again, not on your own worthiness, but because of Christ's worthiness. Look to God's grace. God is always gracious to the unworthy who come to him for mercy. So what would happen to me, you tell me, if I wait until I'm worthy to come to God in prayer? He's never going to come. You're going to never go to the Lord if you wait to be worthy. Secondly, what if I wait until I finally feel worthy and I'm like, here I am, God, I'm worthy. All of a sudden I'm unworthy because you can't go to God and say I'm worthy. That makes you unfit. The best time to come is when you're unworthy because God receives sinners and answers them mightily. Because we read this, Jesus says in Luke 18, hear this story. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One man was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, or even this filthy tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything I get. Surely you expect to receive me. I'm worthy. The other man stood afar off. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm unworthy. And Jesus says, that man, the sinner, the tax collector, went home justified and not the other one. In other words, if you say I'm worthy, like the Pharisee, God's not going to listen to you. He loves when you come to him and say, I'm unworthy, like the tax collector, you will be received. So don't let that stop your faith, right? Let it boost your faith. God answers such. There's another unworthy woman, a Syrophoenician, and Jesus even tells her, he says, it's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. No, I'm not going to heal your daughter of her demon possession. The woman says, yet, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She says, I'm unworthy, but please do this. And he's like, marvelous. Oh, woman, great is your faith. And it was done for her instantly. You've heard of the Roman centurion? I'm not even worthy, God, to have you come under my roof. I didn't even presume to come to you myself. Here are my friends. They're going to deliver the message. And Jesus, when he hears it, says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And then they went home, and the servant, the centurion servant, was healed. So are you going to be concerned about your unworthiness? If you're unworthy, come, because that's exactly the kind of prayer God said he answers. And then, no, God says next that if I delay my answer to you, I'm only holding out for a better answer. You know, Hannah prayed for many years because she was childless, and we saw she got Samuel. Abraham waited 25 years. Joseph was in prison for 30 years. Oh, God, deliver me. And he stayed in a dank, stinky old cell for 13 years. Until finally the prayer comes, the answer arrives, and he is exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. People wait a long time in the Bible for God's answers sometimes, but it comes, and if it's delayed, it's bigger than you expected. Because Jesus, we waited 4,000 years for him and answered to many prayers, and we got the Christ, the Savior of the world. So don't doubt if your prayer doesn't get answered right away. God heard it, and it's a coming. So Luther says, one of the best ways to get encouraged in your prayer life is just by doing it and by experience. Can I share the story of Naomi? Recently, she was at a youth conference over there in Orlando called Send, where all the youth are sent out and encouraged to go and preach the gospel to their generation. It was a very hot day. And as they got inside the gate, the sun beat down upon them such that her group, one of the girls, started to pass out. But you can't leave because you're in, because they've locked you in. And if you leave, you can't get back in. So Naomi was the only one of them with a water bottle. She gave her water, but then went back out through the gate to get more water. She says, I will toss the bottle over since I can't come back in. Well, she couldn't do that because there's so much crowd, 70,000 people there. So she went out on an upper tier and tossed the water bottle down to her friends. Was that the end of it? Some people saying, look, that girl's handing out water because we're all dying here on this field. And they started to throw her more water bottles. Naomi found a very special third water fountain where she could go directly and not stand in this long line. And she started to get so many bottles to save people from the exhaustion that couldn't carry them. She says, Lord, please deliver to me a bag. It really would be nice to have a bag. And as she's going past on her way to the fountain, she passes a tree with a woman with 1,000 bags under it. Can I have one of those? Sure. Wow, thanks God, she says. She gets the water, comes back with all her water bottles. The woman's gone. Can't find her. Disappeared. And then she comes back, she's tossing stuff down. She says, God, it really would be nice to have some shade here because the sun's beating down on them. Like 5 minutes later, the clouds roll in and block out the sun for the rest of the afternoon. And she's like, wow, I didn't think that would work. Thank you, God. And then she eventually rejoins her group and someone's looking at her. She's like, why is this person from the crowd looking at me? And they're like, they come over and hug her and they said, you're the water girl. We were praying and praying that God would send someone to quench our thirst because we were dying on this field. And you're the answer to our prayers. She's like, wow, I'm the water girl. Her faith grew because she prayed, just let it go, and God answered her, and it's going to be the same for you. If you just get into it and do it and believe in the power of it, and God answers you, he's going to just boost to the, you don't want to do anything but pray. If you rely on organization, you're going to get what organization does, or on programs, you get what programs can do, or hard work, you get what hard work can do, but if you rely on prayer, you get what God can do. Do you want God in your life? You want his power? You want to actually see him act? Pray, says God, and come to me by Christ alone. Once again, through him we have access to the Father. We have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. And Jesus promises you this. Listen carefully. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So put that in your bank when you go to pray this week. Last thing I'll say is this, is that we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name means we pray that whatever we've prayed be done according to God's will. So when we pray, ask him what you need. Tell him what you want, even when. But leave the timing and the exact answer to him, because Father knows best. He knows better than we do. But expect him to answer in the way that is best for you. And finally, the word amen. What's that word in Hebrew? Amen. Which means it is sure. It is certain. It is firm. And when I brought out my phone once and dictated to it a prayer, and I said, amen. You know, your dictation device is like, it's trying to figure out what you say sometimes. And it was like, amen. And then finally came out with, I'm in. And I was like, that's the best translation for amen I've ever heard. I'm in. And so let's end our prayers like that. And I'll end this message like that in Jesus' name. I'm in. Amen.